We are wanting to be in lockstep with our community. We talk here a lot about walking humbly with our God, loving mercy and acting justly. And as this past week came along, we were wrestling with this decision of what do we do or don't we do as far as our public gatherings. And you've heard the phrase probably numerous times, we want to be able to flatten the curve. And this is in reference to, we know that the virus is coming, but we want to try to keep the spike of the cases so that our great medical system can handle it. And so we are wanting to be a part of that with our community. This is a new experience for me. I've never gone through anything like this before. I expect that may be true for most of you as well. And I just want to remind us that God is with us. And God is very much aware and God cares in the midst of all that we are experiencing. And so before I dive into the Beatitudes, I just want to take a few minutes just to talk about responding to COVID-19 and what that might look like for us. We want to be a church that is a bringer of hope. We want to be a church that it learns to be generous in the midst of this season. And as I went online, and there's all kinds of things being posted online and in relationship to this, almost all of it has to do with prevention, staying healthy, helping others to stay healthy. And I think that is absolutely paramount through this time. But there's another opportunity for that for within our community, and that is how can we help others? But first, I just want to touch on the prevention aspect. I would encourage you to abide by the directives, the coaching of our public health and all of the directives that they're giving us. It's so natural for me to want to reach out and shake someone's hand. It's not that I don't want to do that, but I'm going to refrain from that. It's actually interesting. In this time, I feel more like I need to give people a hug to just let them know that they matter, and yet I'm sort of doing virtual hugs. If that makes sense. If you're sick, we encourage you to stay home. You know, one of the ways that we can love others and love our neighbors in this instance is by not being those that maybe carry this out and go forward with it. Just this morning, and of course yesterday and the days up, we've heard numerous things from Italy, from Spain. And they were cautioning the rest of the world, would you take heed and take heed before it kind of ramps up and gets going? And so, as I said before, that's how we want to be in lockstep with our community. And so we are offering this live stream to help be a part of that prevention. We don't know if we're carriers, truly. There's some of us who may be, and we're just not quite aware of that. And so, yeah, I encourage you, if you are not well, to stay home, to take those kind of precautions. I encourage you also just to be aware and to be up to date on what's going on. Hit social media, watch the news. It's sometimes a little difficult to discern between fact and fiction, but there is lots of information out there, so I encourage you with that. I mentioned earlier we are walking humbly with our God. That's our desire. We're trying to love mercy and to act justly, and I believe that one of the ways that we can love mercy and act justly is how we help others. The vulnerable, those who maybe need to be quarantined, those who maybe can't get out and gather for themselves through this time. And so, as I said, we want to be bringers of hope. We want to live in hope and not in fear. This is a little bit of a terrifying time. There's no question. This is unprecedented in my lifetime. We want to live in hope. We want to try to bring blessing and be a people of generosity at this time. We want to pray, and I'm going to pray later, but I encourage you, would you pray? Pray for our health workers, those frontline people. Pray for our decision makers. I mean, this is unprecedented for them as well. And so we want to ask God for wisdom. But we want to be there, and we want to help the vulnerable. We want to help the quarantined. How can we do that? Well, there's so many ways, I suppose, but so much of it is just it's just small little things. Know your neighbors. Offer assistance to your neighbors before maybe they need it, and they don't feel like they can go out and ask. Carla and I were talking about it this morning. We're probably going to go around to our neighbors and offer them our contact information. Just so that if they all of a sudden are quarantined and they don't feel like they can come outside of their house, they can just reach out to us. And we both kind of went, that's kind of weird, isn't it? In our culture and the way we kind of do life in our world. But you know what? We're in weird times, aren't we? We're in unprecedented times. So I encourage you to get to know your sphere of influence, your realm of influence are your coworkers. You know, reach out to them. Make the same kind of offer. We want to be there for those who are maybe elderly. And I just want to give a call out to our community, whoever that is on live stream. If you are in need of help, please reach out to us at the church. Call 250-744-2020. Email us at admin@sandwichbaptist.org. Let us know if you need help. Hit our social media stuff. If you know of people, respond to their need. Church, we are the church whether we're gathered or scattered. And we scatter every week, but this morning we're even more scattered. But if you know of need, step in. If the need is maybe beyond your scope of ability to help, we want to be here. Again, reach out to us. Let us know so that we can be a team where we can go out and bless and help. Maybe there's single parents who just are struggling. They're not sure how to do it. Single parent, that's even harder. And so just encourage you to be aware of your neighborhood. Be aware of the people around. Introduce yourself. Talk to your neighbors. Be weird. Let them know that you really care. Yeah. This is a time to be generous. We have all probably had a good chuckle or two over toilet paper. And the memes, there's some amazing memes out there right now of the toilet paper aisles. And people, why toilet paper? And they're wrapping themselves up like mummies. And it's quite funny. But the whole sort of scarcity mindset and hoarding is a fear-based thing. And people are fearful right now. And I would suggest, could we be a generous people at this time? I think it would be good to gather some things and have a bit of a storehouse so that when times maybe are tough, because we don't know what's coming, that we could be people who could go out and share that with others. Again, Carla and I are talking, and sadly, this probably lies a little more in her court than mine, but I'm like, we got to start filling our freezer with food. Like, we got to start making soups, lasagnas, shepherd's pie. I know that's old school stuff. I don't know how you freeze avocado toast. But, you know, like, we've got to start doing things. We've got to start baking. We've got to have stuff in the ready so that when people who are struggling, that we can turn around and we can bless them and be able to offer. Maybe we can step in and we can offer to clean. Maybe we can go somewhere. Maybe around work there's some things. Folks, I don't know what it is, but this is the greatest time for us to do a lot of social networking, right? And just finding out and listening and trying to discern and understand what are the needs out there. We'll be talking as an organization, as a church. We'll be finding out different areas within our community that we might be able to collectively help in. But we ask you to be the church and to be asking questions, to be looking around. We want to love well at this time. So again, I want to say, if you need help, if you're struggling and you're just not sure, please reach out. If you're out in the community and you see a need, I ask you, would you please respond? If it's overwhelming to you, contact us. And again, I encourage you, our number is 250-744-2020. Or you can just email admin@sandwichbaptist.org, or you can hit any of our social media things. You can go on the website. We want to help out in any way we can. We will continue to be posting things throughout the weeks as to whether or not events are happening or not, if things are being canceled. We will keep you well aware of the programmatic things that are going on. As you know in the video that Steve and I shared maybe on social media, if you saw that, we're definitely shut down for the next 3 weeks in our physical gatherings at our services. But we don't know if it's just 3 weeks. But we will keep you informed on that. Deal? Can we team up like that for our community? Let's make sure we're doing that and get out there and be the church in any way that we can. I want to pray right now I want to pray for our community. I want to pray for those who are sick. I want to pray for us as a church that we would feel mobilized, even as individuals, that we would understand we're a part of a greater team going out and sharing the love and mercy and generosity of our God. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this church, because before this pandemic hit, we have been growing, and we have definitely learned what it means to serve the city. We definitely know what it means. We've been challenged. We've done it. We've seen this church do it, where we've gone out and blessed others. And God, I just pray that that would grow. That the fear of this, the uncertainty, which I think we all face and we all understand at this moment, that that would not overcome us, but that we'd feel emboldened to be able to go and to love and to share. God, for those who are sick right now, we pray for your protection. God, we pray that this pandemic would not just continue to kind of jump by leaps and bounds, but God, we would ask for you to bring a slowing down, that you would bring this to a halt. God, we talk about your kingdom coming. May it come here in Victoria. God, may we heed the warnings. God, I lift up our healthcare workers, those who are on the front lines. Having family in that field, I know the pressure that they're facing. Having talked to some of them within our community here, the pressure is intense, it's hard, it's scary, it's unknown for them as well. God, bless them. May they know that they are doing your work as they care for the sick and the vulnerable. Protect them. God, for our civic leaders, our municipal leaders, our provincial, our country, our worldwide leaders, God, give them incredible wisdom. God, would you drop our pride? Allow us to walk humbly at this time with some uncertainty, but making decisions and moving forward for the good of others. God, we need your wisdom. And we thank you so much that you are with us. And so now, as we lean into your story some more, God, would you open our hearts and our minds to what you would have and you would like to say to us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to let you know, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to be doing a little mini-series before Easter, Living in Uncertain Times. I think we would suggest that we are in uncertain times. And so we are going to just do some talking, look at some stories, some men and women throughout God's story who have lived in uncertain times and how God has met with them and moved them forward. And so we are going to be looking at that story. Kim mentioned earlier that we are in a series on the Beatitudes, this idea of the upside down life. This is a beginning of what was called the Sermon on the Mount. This is sort of the initial, Jesus coming out and sharing and teaching his amazing thoughts. And we are looking at the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes really are the way of Jesus. They're the way of who he is and what he is all about. And this morning we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Most of you are online right now, and if you don't have a physical Bible in front of you, you can just go to BibleGateway.com, and you can check out Matthew chapter 5. You can grab your phone and look at YouVersion, or you could have a Bible right there with you. We won't see you. You can run to the kitchen. You can run to your bedroom and grab that if you would like. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Jesus, in this beatitude, speaks to us in terms that we understand, because we've all been hungry and we've all been thirsty, and he's using that analogy to remind us and to show us we need to be hungry and we need to be thirsty. We will be hungry, we will be thirsty, and what is it that we're going to seek after? What really is it? And you see, from the day we crawled out of our crib, Steve Karademus, our youth pastor who opened up the service, was proudly showing off pictures of Gage this morning. And Gage is what, 5 weeks old? Yeah, 5 weeks old. And little Gage, apparently, when he is placed right in the middle of his little bassinet, somehow in the middle of the night, he starts inching his way, and he somehow moves himself. Even at that stage, he's moving. And God is saying, listen, I need you to move in my direction. You know, from the crib, those moments when we sort of got ourselves out of the crib and we started heading off to middle school and then into university and then into being adults and all, we start recognizing, you know what, we are looking and longing for meaning and purpose, for the ultimate thing. And I pray, as Peter said, in his word, and as babies like Gage and others do, would we crave pure spiritual milk? Would we ultimately seek after our God? You see, this purpose and meaning, that this ultimate reality, it's a craving. It's a deep need that we all face. And it can't be filled with imitations. We try. But Jesus says right here, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for Jesus, for you will be filled. You will be satisfied. We as humans, we're created as image bearers of God. We hunger and thirst to be like Jesus. The Bible talks about how he's the author and he's the perfecter of our faith. We read earlier in the call to worship, Steve read for us, that Jesus is the exact representation of God. And so we want to hunger and thirst, and we want to follow after Jesus. We want to be like him. And so in the midst of COVID-19, one of the ways of being like him is that we learn and we discover what it is to sacrifice for others. That's who Jesus was. That's what righteousness looks like. We become a servant to others. We don't just look to ourselves. No, we look to others. We want to move as Jesus did and to serve and to bless. We want to be imitators of Jesus. Now, the reality is, and we've seen it this week, and we see it in our lives, in everyday life, that this is a very real struggle. This is difficult. I mean, we watch and we understand from our own lives people who are longing for that ultimate wisdom, that ultimate purpose. There's a striving after, and there's all kinds of temporary things, wannabe sort of fixes to fill that gap, that void, that purpose in our life. The new and shiny, for example. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we try to put into that spot, but it's a spot that only God can fill. Are we hungering and thirsting after it? Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 55, has some very interesting words, and I remember discovering it a number of years ago. And it's funny how some things just sort of pop out at you, you know, as you're reading, you've read something, I don't know how many times, and then all of a sudden God just goes, whoa, hold on. And he has a moment with you over something. And you know, sometimes we talk about how, well, yeah, but that was Jesus and that was 2,000 years ago. Isaiah was even before Jesus on these words, and I think they are relevant to today. Have a listen. Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loved promise to David will be yours as well. That's a fascinating set of verses, a set of words that I think are as relevant to the people who heard Isaiah say that back then, but as relevant to us today in this 21st century. It speaks of the struggle that we all have to have this inner need of purpose, of meaning, of pursuit met. And Isaiah uses some very interesting words. Come, you who are thirsty. Come, you who are hungry. And he asks some interesting questions and makes some interesting points. Come, you have no money. What do you mean you have no money? That's not how commerce works. Commerce works, I have money, you give me. That's the way it works. And Isaiah is giving us a little window into God's economy. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. And then he says an interesting thing. Why do these things? Why spend money on what is not bread? Why spend money on what will not quench your thirst? Clearly not speaking about the physical right now. Blessed are those who will hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you may find life. I love that. That you may live. It's so good. Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 35 said, you know, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will forever be satisfied. So just before Jesus started his teaching that we see in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually was taken away, led by the Spirit of God, actually, into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days. I've never done that. I've skipped the odd meal. I was a youth pastor, so of course I've done the 30-hour famine. Steve, can you? Yep, we've all done that. All of us who are youth leaders and all, we've all done 40 days. We need to understand that. And what we also need to understand is that Jesus was tempted. Temptation is not failure. Temptation is being human, being alive, breathing, doing life. That we all are tempted, just as Jesus was. And here we find that the tempter was tempting Jesus in so many ways. You know, turn these rocks into bread. You know, you can do that. And he was kind of egging him on and throw yourself off. I'm sure, you know, God will protect you. And he was saying, hey, come worship me and I'll give you whatever it is you see. Jesus was being physically, emotionally, and intellectually challenged with his worldview. What was his ultimate purpose is what he was being challenged with. Is it going to be the following after his father or not? And we understand and we can read that story where Jesus withstood it and Satan left his presence. And you see, this story reminds us that our God will give us all we need in times of trouble. He will give us the ability to stand in the midst of struggle and of temptation if we desire to hunger and thirst after his presence, after who he is, after righteousness, to have the fullness of Jesus dwell in us. It's the craziest thing. Yes, Jesus is the divine representation of God. He represents all that God is, and we're told that all that God is through Jesus and the Holy Spirit can dwell in us and can empower us. It's crazy, but it's true. And my prayer for my life and my prayer for us as a church is that we'll continue to grow, that we'll continue to have a desperation, that we'll come out of a place where we desire and hunger and thirst after righteousness. It won't just be a Sunday sort of weekend thing, you know, show up online to church and sort of lean in there and then just forget about God the rest of the week. No, that we will hunger and thirst after him. Paul said in so many different places in his writings. Philippians 3, you want to read a section where Paul is saying, listen, all these other things, all these shiny things, all these, you know, plaques on the wall, all of these wonderful, amazing things that are just fine and wonderful are not the ultimate thing. I want to know Jesus. I hunger and thirst after Jesus. What we're constantly finding in the language of the New Testament, of the story of Jesus, as he was talking with people, as the letters were written to others, language like this, you know, we need to put off things. There's some things we need to take off, and then there's other things that we need to put on. We need to renew our mind. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to wage war against things that dissuade us from hungering and thirsting after Jesus. We hear words like, consider your day, consider your thoughts, consider your way, strive, follow, lean in, fix your eyes, be alert, be watchful. And this gets confusing for us at times. I mean, grace. We hear about grace all the time. I thought our salvation, I thought all of that was not by works so that no one can boast. Some of you out there are quoting, and rightly so, Ephesians chapter 2. Fantastic. And it's true. Listen, you're right. Grace is not something that we earn. But what we need to understand is that Dallas Willard said this the other day, and you know I can't get through a sermon on the Beatitudes without quoting Dallas Willard. Come on now. Dallas Willard said this, grace is not opposed to effort, but grace is opposed to earning. We're not earning anything here as we learn how to hunger and thirst after Jesus, hunger and thirst after righteousness, hunger and thirst after who he is and his way. That's not about earning. That's about living out the God who is now within us. And so it's a challenge, just as it was for Jesus in following. When Steve was preaching the other day, he reminded us of Jesus' battle, his prayer in the garden. I mean, that wasn't easy for him, but he was leaning hard after his Father and saying, God, if there's any other way. And he said, but you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. And so we need to have, you know, insight and discernment to learn how to daily choose Jesus. How to daily follow his way. What do you hunger and thirst for? What is it maybe that keeps you up at night? I had a fascinating conversation recently at a coffee shop. I was meeting with a gentleman, and this woman who was sitting beside us and working on her computer sort of interjected her way into our conversation. And she said, you guys seem like nice people, had her fooled. She goes, I'm wondering if you would answer a couple questions for me. And we said, oh, sure. And somehow she was into some sort of assignment where she was sort of doing like interview on the street type things, trying to get some answers from people on. And she literally said to us, what I'd just like you to do, could you just tell me what it is that keeps you up at night? What is it that kind of keeps you awake? And I mean, I knew what that answer was right away for me. Like, I know what that is. I so desperately want my kids, my grandchildren, my family, those people within my family, that they would desperately hunger and thirst after God. That keeps me up at night. That's nothing I can particularly control. I can pray for it. I can lean into it on their behalf, but truly it's something that they have to choose. And so thankfully, they do love their God. The second thing would be that we as a church would understand that. That we would go so far beyond just a Sunday gathering. that we would be the church, that we would hunger and thirst after Jesus in everything, in our careers, in our marriages, in our family, in our coaching, and how we do commerce and how we do business, like all of these things. And so I ask you, what do you sort of lie awake at night desperately needing? So in these days, could we walk humbly with our God? Could we learn to be a servant within our community? Could we do that? Could we learn how to walk humbly towards those who are hurting and demonstrate mercy and grace? Could we learn to act justly for the vulnerable and those who are kind of on the edges? Listen, I know some of us just kind of want to go, you know what? It's all good. I'm just gonna shake hands and I'm gonna hug and I'm gonna do all that stuff because, you know, all of this. I'm like, no, could we just lose that? And let's make sure that we are in lockstep with our community in trying to protect the vulnerable. Because that's what we're talking about. Let's learn what that means over these next few weeks. Next days, for God's glory, right, and for the good of others. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this day, and it's fascinating to me how, you know, for weeks and months we've been working towards being able to live stream, and here it is that Kim and her team, who have worked so hard, and the admin team, the week that we need it, boom, we're able to do it. And God, not for our glory, but truly, God, this is just such a perfect analogy, a perfect picture of the church, in that we actually need to make sure that we recognize and understand we are the church when we're scattered. And we have a role and an opportunity to represent you well and to be blessing and serving those around us. Thank you for this picture of who we are, gathered around you and who you are, and scattered with you to be who you are. So thank you for this great time together. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are never going to leave us and you're never going to forsake us. We go in your strength and in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.